How's it going, folks? And welcome to another episode of HQI Sports. For today's show, we're going to start off by going over our starting five, going over the Lamar Jackson situation because we got a massive update Monday morning, then going over a little bit of March Madness, and then also talking about MLB opening day as well. Then for our main segment, going over our NBA playoff race as it's just a few more games left in the regular season, especially with that tight Western Conference race, getting into all that good stuff as well. So much to go over. Let's not waste any time. Let's dive straight into this episode.
Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom.
He drives one deep left field. That goes up to back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it.
Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry.
Thank you guys so much. I love you. Mamba out.
And once again, welcome back to HQI Sports. I'm your host, Josh Hobbs. Joined by my side virtually is a pretty depressed Parker Holland owner. As you know, today woke up to some pretty unfortunate news. But before we get into all of the, you know, the obvious elephant in the room, Parker, I know how you are today, but I'm just going to ask. I do it every episode. Parker, how are you doing today?
I'm tired, I'm sad, I'm a little pissed. There's not a lot of good emotion right now.
Like as there shouldn't be. I don't expect you to be a happy person today. I'm hoping recording this episode at least gives you maybe a platform to kind of speak about where your mind's at right now, because
I plan to.
Yeah.
So you know what's weird? I was going through my room because I was thinking, like, what bit can I do? And I straight up couldn't find my Lamar jersey.
So no way.
If that isn't symbolism, no joke.
No, come on. I know you're a busy person. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, if Parker can't find his Lamar jersey, what's there left to count on in life? I mean, come on.
There's no way I straight up lost it. But I also realized that my drying rack is gone. So there's a real possibility that in my dumbassery, I left it and other clothes on a drying rack and that I no longer have a Lamar Jackson jersey.
That is quite hilarious, given obviously the update that we got this morning, which I'm not even going to waste time. Let's just dive straight into it, because Parker, I know you want to get this off your chest, and it's the first thing on our starting five, of course, because we obviously got the update today in the whole Lamar, Lamar versus Baltimore saga. That Lamar back.
And
on...
I never thought it was a versus. I never thought it was Lamar versus Baltimore until now. But
well,
it is.
If from an outsider's perspective, who's not a Baltimore fan,
now it is.
It always kind of seemed like there was a little bit of riffraff between Lamar and the organization. We got confirmation today that back on March 2nd, all the way back on March 2nd. So this is like three and a half weeks ago. Lamar Jackson requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens, and this is even before the whole like don't trust the agent thing kind of went down like earlier in the week or something. So I don't know exactly.
Yeah, this
what's
was placed before he was even given the non-exclusive tag. This was about a week
this
before
is
he
like,
was tagged.
This is like right after the Super Bowl almost. Like this was not recent. So definitely kind of a shocking update to the whole Lamar Jackson saga. Parker, as the resident Ravens fan and someone who is. Because we've talked about the situation quite in depth already, but obviously this is kind of the nail in the coffin in terms of if Lamar Jackson is coming back or not. Obviously, no trade has been official yet, but sitting here today on March 27th, as someone who's sat here and proclaimed that Lamar Jackson would be in the Baltimore Ravens uniform come next season, I mean, I can't imagine what you're feeling right now. I mean, this is a player that has had so many good moments, especially in his young career, wearing a Ravens uniform. Obviously he's had some shaky years just with injuries, you know, throughout the entire team, not just him and Lamar Jackson himself. But I'm gonna stop talking for now. I'm gonna toss it over to you, Parker, because I know there's a lot on your mind right now. I'll set you up for this. Is there any part of you that's like, no, I mean, I can kind of see where the Ravens are coming from, or is it just complete anarchy right now, which is completely
well acceptable? I'll answer that in a second, because that's kind of more of a conclusion than where I am. But So right now, first of all, just to address how I was about 2 weeks ago, there is still very much a chance that he ends up back on the Ravens. There is no reason, like, he even in his Twitter thread, he was like, he has nothing against the team, he has nothing against, like, it's all business stuff, which means if the Ravens are willing to budge and figure out a way to get to the value that he wants to be, I don't know if that happens. I don't, but there is a way that he stays on the Ravens. That said, this is the closest I've ever seen. And let me make this very clear. At no point will I, unless he actually does something bad, I will never flip on Lamar Jackson, even if he's not on my team anymore. I still believe that he's great and deserves whatever he wants to be paid, whatever team he plays for. So I just want to be very clear. But this is the first time I've noticed this feels like bad faith. That tweet today, the timing was not a coincidence, because he released that literally 2 minutes before John Harbaugh entered his interviews, entered the official league meeting where all the head coaches go.
And it seemed, not to cut you off, it seemed like Harbaugh had no idea that Lamar had tweeted.
He's on the record saying he hadn't seen the tweet. He didn't know Lamar was going to do anything like that. So that is the closest I've ever seen to bad faith from anyone in these negotiations. Like, the Ravens have been open about stuff, but kept things private as requested. Lamar, I didn't love the tweet earlier this season, just some of the tweets during the offseason about arguing about what the numbers were in the negotiations, the Players Association leaking contract numbers. I haven't enjoyed any of that, but I understood it. This is the first time that I'm really like, hey, this is a little bit messed up. This is you trying to strong arm the team. Which I get doing it implicitly. I get like, hey, if you play without me, I'll sit out. That kind of stuff is fine because that's all above board. But like, he let his coach get ambushed, and Harbaugh maintains that Lamar's his guy and that there's no bad faith there. And I believe that. But let's say Lamar did come back, Harbaugh now knows that this is a guy who was willing to like make his life actively harder to get more money, which is a hard thing to look at for teammates. So I am very much, this is the first time really, I mean, I've talked about before where I've processed like, hey, he might be gone. This is the first time I felt like, yeah, it makes sense that he would be moving on. My questions kind of have to do with, does he get traded? And then they work out contract from there, or he goes somewhere for a year and then becomes a free agent, or do they do the two first rounds on the non-exclusive tag? And once someone makes him an offer now, and the Ravens just let him walk. Do the Ravens still match whatever deal Lamar ends up getting? There's so much out there that could still happen. And it's just all confusing and exhausting. And I want it to be done, but I wish I remembered what the exact question was you asked. But
no, I was just, I was kind of poking at the fun. Like, is there any part of you that could kind of see, at least from the update that, you know, Lamar has been, because I think people kind of forget to realize that all the moves that have happened since, I mean, before today, no one thought that he had put in a trade request. That's the whole thing. That gives you, it gives you a completely different perspective in terms of what Lamar Jackson's decisions have been doing since March 2nd. So that's
I will say, this does help me with the point that I made on the radio last weekend. I've made it a couple times. I don't know if I made it here. I think I did make it last week, which is, I do believe that Eric DaCosta and Lamar agreed to the non-exclusive tag so that Lamar could shop around and try to get contracts elsewhere. I believe that was an honest, good faith agreement that was made so that Lamar could try to find his value somewhere else. The fact that an offer hasn't been made is very interesting still. It's so strange. This is maybe the weirdest thing I've seen in sports in a minute. Like, this is crazy.
Do you think it's actually getting to kind of a Kaepernick level where it's just like, it doesn't honestly make sense why no teams, like I saw another report today. I forgot which NFL insider tweeted this, but I saw another report today that once the Lamar trade request was officially, you know, made public, that there was another bunch of teams. I think Washington was one of the notable ones that was like, nope, we're out on Lamar Jackson. We're not interested in trying to trade for him.
But meanwhile,
their active roster has Sam Howell and some other nobody.
I do like Sam Howell. But
it's like, but Sam Howell compared to Lamar Jackson, don't be stupid.
Oh, 100%.
Like, come on. 100%. It doesn't make any sense why no one wants this guy. He is a former MVP in his first regular season starting.
Totally true. And that's the thing. You compared it to the cap situation, and it feels even weirder than that, because at least with cap, we could see, oh, this is NFL teams being racist. That's not what, that can't be what this is. There's no way. So it's either, there's a couple options. It could be the fully guaranteed thing, but I don't believe that it's that. I truly don't think that it's Lamar wants a guaranteed contract and no one wants to do fully guaranteed.
Well, I think part of the reason why some of that conversation is being thrown out there, it's because of the Sean Watson deal last year.
Totally. And then that's
the Sean
totally
Watson deal has now completely reshaped the quarterback market.
I don't think Lamar's dying on that hill. I'm wondering, maybe teams really don't want to have to deal with a guy with no agent long term. Maybe there's something suggesting that he's got a diva quality, even though we've never seen that. I'm not sure what it's got to be, something that we don't know. And no one's willing to say why. And I'm not, I don't want to say that it's the owner collusion thing, because that doesn't make sense to me. But this is so chaotic and none of it makes any sense. Like you said, this is a guy who's an MVP. He has won a playoff game, which is more than we can say for a lot of quarterbacks in this league right now. I mean, thank you, Mahomes, for making Lamar look better by not letting anyone else win playoff games. It's great. Yeah. It's him and Burrow are making Lamar's value go up that much more. But it's just exhausting and it's confusing. And I appreciate so much that Harbaugh and EDC have maintained, hey, as if we are able to make Lamar come back here, we want him back. That is, they've made that very clear through every step of this journey. But if Lamar doesn't want to be a Raven anymore, which doesn't make sense, I don't see why he wouldn't want to be a Raven anymore other than the money. So like I'm saying, want to be a Raven if the conditions were right. I don't see any reason that he has any ill will with the city or the team. So I think it just needs to get solved, and I don't know how. And I straight up woke up this morning and was like, you know what? This kind of feels like the day that something could get done. It's a Monday, like business hours are open. Maybe they negotiated over the weekend. Maybe we get good news today. Nope, we got the exact opposite, and life is
sorry,
chaos.
Man. I don't think any it's good news fine. Is coming in a hot second. Here's my last question before we have to move on, unfortunately. What is, at least sitting from your perspective, as obviously the resident Ravens fan, someone who has followed the situation from the beginning, from head to toe, I know you have. What is, in your opinion, the most likely scenario at this point in the Lamar Jackson standoff? Could we see him maybe get re-signed back to the Baltimore? Is it more likely that maybe we see a trade maybe on draft night potentially? I've heard the Colts maybe been thrown out there as a potential suitor. What is the most likely situation? And also, if you do suspect a trade, what would be at least a somewhat fair compensation in trying to acquire Lamar Jackson?
So again, all of this needs to be under the lens of any team. Well, again, I don't think any team is going to go the non-exclusive franchise tag route, because I think they know that the Ravens at this point will match it if Lamar agrees to that contract. So I think that that is very much the case. So that means it has to be a straight up trade. And then he could be bought off of you again, which is weird, but could happen. So I think you raise a good one. Indianapolis makes a lot of sense. Jim Irsay loves billboard material. He's very Jerry Jonesy in that way. I actually don't hate the Cowboys making a move for him, but I don't think that happens.
Oh,
I think
my God, that would just break the NFL at that.
That would make sense. That would be a smart move for both teams.
So what,
but they won't.
So what, you like? So the Ravens get Dak? So it's, yes, like a Dak, exactly, for Lamar trade? That would be insane.
It would be, although Dak and a one for,
although,
Lamar.
If I'm Dallas, like, how do I say no to that? Like, are you,
right,
kidding,
yeah, no,
me?
No. Dak and a one for Lamar would make sense for both teams, but I don't think they do. No, anyone does,
nah,
that.
I don't,
so
think that,
I think,
happens.
Indianapolis makes sense. Washington would make sense, but I don't think they're going to do that.
They've
so
already,
the
they've already explicitly said that they're not going for Lamar.
Yeah, but
and
come
I,
on.
I don't understand that. But like,
the 49ers were leaking,
like,
that they were
going to
pick Mac Jones.
Why? Why do that?
The 49ers were publicly going to take Mac Jones for 2 months. But
I guess so.
I just don't buy teams. So Colts make a lot of sense to me. That just makes perfect sense.
I've always loved the Atlanta fit. I think Atlanta would make a lot of sense.
I could see Atlanta, but the two teams that stand out to me right now are the Panthers. Like, if you get the number one overall pick just, ooh, so you can get Lamar, that makes sense to me. I don't hate that, because, I mean, it's either you get CJ Stroud, who might work, or Lamar, who does work. And that's your call. And I will say that's a bit of a retcon to our mock draft. The day we did our mock draft part one, everyone starts confirming, oh, the Panthers love CJ Stroud. He's been interviewing with them. He's been hanging out with them.
Yep.
So it doesn't change too much, but yeah. Or they get Anthony Richardson, who's even less of a sure thing. I will say, if the Ravens end up with a top five pick, I think they get Anthony Richardson, and that would be hype as hell. The Seahawks,
like, the
sense,
same player.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, he's worse. Let's be honest. He's probably not as,
we,
good,
don't know that. I mean, he literally, true, I mean,
maybe his,
knows,
ceiling's higher.
I don't know.
Maybe. And then the one that makes the most sense to me right now is the Patriots. Like, and I don't like,
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
Because it might mean that Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi's starting for me next year. But,
oh, God.
But it makes, Jesus, sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it make perfect sense?
Honestly, it actually makes sense. I think the Lamar mindset, combined with Belichick, I actually think the two of them actually have very similar approaches, just,
yes,
mentally to football. And that's why when you kind of threw it, like, the whole diva conversation, I don't view Lamar Jackson as,
I don't
a
think
diva
Lamar's
at all.
A diva.
I would say he's the polar opposite of Adebayo. I think he's so focused on football, it almost kind of hurts him in a ways, like the situation currently right now.
He's very just win.
Right. Which can honestly kind of hurt you sometimes. But we're going to have to move on, though. Unfortunately, I know
I'm in hell.
We could talk about this for literally the entire episode if we had time for.
We sure could.
We just don't. But what we do have time for, though, is we have an official Final Four, baby. And my goodness, is it weird? I mean,
oh, it's beautiful.
My God. Florida.
I'll be honest, Josh, the path has never been so clear for
me.
Let me
try
to
remember this, honestly. Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State.
Yes.
Other side is UConn versus Miami, Florida.
That is absolutely correct.
Talk about a bunch of just blah.
The path has never been clearer for me to be right. I love being right.
This is such a perfect example of when people say, oh, we need for anyone who tries to argue about how like they would rather have a single elimination tournament versus a 7-game series, like for people who are like, no, the people who win the March Madness tournaments, those are the true champions. That because it's single elimination, you don't get any bye games. Like those, that determines the one true champion.
Are you saying FAU wouldn't be a true champion?
If we're playing 7-game series, absolutely not. That would be, how would they win seven? Do you think they would win a 7-game series versus any team they've played against so far?
Let me see who they played against.
They started against Memphis, and then they played someone kind of good, and then
they beat Memphis. They rolled Fairleigh Dickinson, and then they beat Tennessee by 7.
There's no way they would have been if they're going to play a 3-game series versus Tennessee. Tennessee wins 2-1 easily. I would put that down.
And then FAU Kansas State. I had Kansas State in my Final Four.
Kansas State, same thing. I mean, Kansas State is a loaded team. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to put down any of the four teams. It's just it's funny to me because it feels like constantly, at least with basketball, we're trying to debate about what is the best playoff format in order to determine the best true champion. And you have people like me who are completely not in favor of how the NBA does it with having the 7-game series essentially from the beginning now, which just takes so much longer and honestly doesn't determine a true champion anyway. And then you have people like me who are more in favor of kind of a single elimination game or having some sort of, you know, kind of fun. Doesn't always have to be single elimination, but at least some sort of shorter version of a playoff format. But then you have years like this where there's literally not a top three seed in the tournament, which has just never happened before. So I don't know where you really stand on this. I mean, everyone's bracket is busted at this point, so it doesn't really matter. Mm. But I'm curious to know your thoughts about it, even though I know you're not a huge college basketball fan. What are your thoughts about having just such a oddly...
Is everyone's bracket busted, Josh? Is everyone's?
You're telling me you had any of these teams in your Final Four?
My champion is still in it. You know
no
this.
Way.
Who'd you pick? I picked UConn to win it all.
Oh my God, that's right. Are you serious?
Tell me that. That's what I was saying at the beginning of the segment. The path has never been clearer for me to be right. And that is the best reaction. We are in the good timeline right now, brother.
No, we're not. And, we're in the worst one right now. Are you kidding me?
This is such a good timeline.
This is the number one timeline for anyone who's actually watched Community. Like, this is the worst timeline by far. It's not even close.
Answering your
question. It's the evil timeline.
To answer your question, I will say that I am a big fan of how the bracket has shaped out this year. Not as a bracket picker, because obviously, you know, we could all be more right and that would be great. But as someone watching the games, it's exceptional because I know who the favorites are coming in. I know who has the roster that's going to go to the NBA. These Alabama and Houston guys have NBA draft lottery players who are going to go to the league after this year. But because they come out knowing that they're the favorites, because they're a little bit worse coached or have the wrong mindset going in, they get upset by these teams that are hungrier and are better constructed all around and just all together. Well, so, yeah, these Final Four teams might not be the best teams, but they're the teams who have had great mindsets, who have had their shots fall on times. Like, these are great stories. And if you remember, when you first got me for HQI Sports, I was the narrative guy. So seeing these four teams and the stories they've had and the games they've played, This is to me is the ideal Final Four because it's not one person.
I was gonna say this is like the perfect Final Four for you because I would still say you're definitely the narrative guy amongst me and you.
Totally. I'm just so happy that there's not one team, and this was true of the Elite Eight as well, where it doesn't feel like there's one team who's just gonna walk over everybody. If Alabama was in this Final Four, everyone would just say, oh, Bama's obviously gonna win the chip. And so seeing this, I feel like all of these four teams could end up hoisting the trophy at the end of it. That's great.
I'm not trying to dispute that, and I think you make some good points. Here's my problem. wouldn't it, when you have a final four, like, okay, these are the four quote unquote best teams left. You can't honestly say any of the teams left in the final four were the best team in their own little bracket. Like, it's just not UConn true.
UConn was.
No, they were not. You think UConn was better in Kansas? You really think that? Dude,
I will say I think they would have won head-to-head. And I think they would have won a seven-game series, too. The reason I didn't pick them on luck. I picked them because they have the best defense in all of college basketball this year. They beat Gonzaga by 30 points, dude.
Playing nobodies, though. That's the whole problem. Gonzaga. They don't play anybody.
They beat Gonzaga by 30.
Gonzaga's not good. Okay. We're going to have to move on before I just get even more pissed off. But I think, don't get me wrong, I'm still going to watch the Final Four this year. I'm not that much of a hater or whatever. But
it's on April Fool's Day, too. That's excellent.
Of course it is. Just to piss me off anymore. Anyway, I want to talk about some baseball before we run out of time here. And then we have to go to Parker's trivia question.
Yeah.
Parker, we've got, amongst everything going on right now, we got some baseball coming up, man.
Yeah, baby.
Orioles. I'm so excited. Orioles and Royals. But anyway, this is the happiest time that both of us are probably going to be at because both.
I don't
teams,
know, dude. I think the Royals might be surprising this year.
They could be. That's the whole thing every
playoffs.
Year. Yeah,
I don't see them making playoffs, but I do think, like, truly, you guys have been so great in spring training that some of that
we
has
always
to
are though. That's the problem.
We're
always good in spring training. Then the regular season comes. It's like, oh, how do we swing a bat? It's like it falls off a cliff. But
that was awesome.
But no, don't get me wrong. I'm so excited. There's some good young players that are, at least speaking about the Royals specifically, because I don't honestly care about too many other teams. But I'm excited. I'm excited for this year because there's definitely some young, you know, Bobby Witt Jr.'s in his second season. Same with MJ Melendez, Vinny Pasquatino, so Italian. And there's some good players on the team as well as you. I mean, Orioles obviously had one of the more fun.
I'm one of the good players
year.
On the Royals. Let's go.
No. I'm talking about your Orioles. Your Orioles and my Royals. I think there's a little bit of moment. If I had to bet,
have you made a preseason World Series pick yet? Cause I know I locked mine in on my radio show. I'll share that here. I would love to get yours. If you want to give me a preseason World Series pick real quick.
If I had to just, pull two teams out of a hat, I would say everything is shaping up for the Yankees to go to it this year. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of, they just pulled up their number one prospect. He's going to be on the roster to start out the season. Yeah, I'll go Yankees, even though I don't want to see him there. I'll go Yankees in the AL, and then for the NL. Oh, God. It's usually the Dodgers are good, so that sounds kind of basic. I'll go Yankees and, Yankees-Dodgers. It's just, it makes sense. I think it'd be kind of cool because you get the whole Brooklyn Dodgers versus, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great.
It's super big. It's basically picking the best two teams.
You're picking
the
favorites, but it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the Astros are the favorites right now, but that doesn't matter. No one cares.
I think the Astros. I think the Astros' best times are off.
I'll sprinkle in a couple other things real quick. First of all, yeah, I am very optimistic about the Orioles this season, even though they don't have Grayson starting in the lineup. But like you mentioned, for the Yankees calling up Volpe to start the season, this new MLBPA, the new players agreement, like the, I don't remember what it's called, but the agreement between the Players Association and the league, it really incentivizes calling up your prospects sooner, which is great. It's just working out super well. So even seeing a super stacked, basically a super team like the Yankees, able to call up young prospects early and like seeing that potential is so healthy for the sport. And the other rules coming into my preseason picks. I made these all the way back before spring training started, and I'm sticking with them after what I've seen. I do have the Yankees coming out of the AL. I just think they're super well built. I think the East is theirs to lose. I have other stuff happening, interestingly, in the AL East. But I do think the Yankees are going to finally break that second round of the playoffs barrier. Yeah. And then I have the Padres making it out of the NL. They've been my little darling National League team for a while.
So much
they
potential.
They just locked up Machado for nine more years.
There's so much potential with the Padres every year.
And they're getting Tatis back unless he keeps screwing himself over. So, I mean, they're going to get Tatis back, like, I think a third of the way through the season. They still have Soto
playing.
And Machado.
He's already playing.
He's already playing?
I think he's already playing. I saw him in a homer.
Oh, great.
I saw him in a homer in spring training.
Oh, great. Then it's him as well as Machado and Juan Soto, as well as the rest of their really stacked team. I love the Padres to make it out, and I do have the Padres winning it all this season.
All right, so you got Padres over Yankees. I'll go Yankees over Dodgers. I'm kind of getting sick of the Dodgers anyway, and I'm going to be actually going to go see Kansas City play San Diego, right after I actually leave here. So I actually go and I'll give you some feedback if I think the Padres are worthy of that World Series spot. Baby. Yeah, but on to trivia. Parker's actually asking me the question this time since I asked him last episode, which Parker, I don't think you got it right last time, but
I did not. I whiffed on something that I should have nailed, which was the 2009 draft class. Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, 2011 draft class. But I did the same thing last episode. I did not get one right that I probably should have.
Yeah. We were both at 3 and 4.
So we're both officially in redemption mode. So I have no idea what you're going to ask me for this one. But I am excited. Let's see if I actually get one right this time.
All right. So this is a football question, and it is Lamar Jackson related. As we know, Lamar Jackson is currently under the non-exclusive franchise tag. Josh, only 5 quarterbacks other than Lamar have ever received the non-exclusive tag. If you can name 3 of them, actually, I'll make it 2 because it's a little harder. If you can name 2 of them, I'll give it to you. I can give you the years if you want.
I would very much appreciate that. Right, I don't want to be sitting here. Okay.
1993, 1996, 2005, 2009, and 2016. Those are the only other 5 quarterbacks to ever receive the non-exclusive franchise tag on a quarterback.
Interesting. Can you give me the 3 later years?
05, 09, 16.
Okay. 05. Is one like Michael Vick?
You only
got to
get 2 of them. Hmm? No, none of them were Michael Vick.
No.
You have 5 lives. Because there are 5 of them.
Okay. Trying to think of quarterbacks that would have even like been in a position to actually get the non-exclusive franchise tag. Interesting. Why am I thinking like Mark Sanchez, maybe?
Nope.
No?
I will say only one of these guys is still active in the league. That's the one from 2016. But on a different team. Yeah. Oh, I will say the one in 2016 is the only time that someone has been signed off of the non-exclusive franchise tag. No, that's not true. Never mind.
Nothing's you want the teams? Mind. Yeah, all right. Maybe the teams.
We'll give you the teams, but it means you drop down only a couple guesses. Fine. The 49ers in 1993, the Colts in 96, the Chargers in 05, the Pats in 09, and Washington in 2016.
So the Pats in 2009?
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady?
Nope.
What? Matt Castle?
Yep.
Okay.
You got
there
one.
You go. That's the 09 one. 2016, Washington.
It's going to be obvious once you realize it.
It's not like RG3, is it?
Nope.
No? Man, that's a really interesting question. You said, what was the 2005 team?
Chargers.
Phillip Rivers?
Nope.
Drew Brees?
Yep. There you go.
All right. That was definitely a tough one. I'll take half credit for that because I kept asking.
Yeah,
for
okay,
hints.
We'll call it a tie.
All right, that was definitely a harder one.
3-4-1. That's not complicated at all.
So Lamar is included on that list though. He's now the 6th person to have. I guess 6th
quarterback players have gotten it before.
Well, 6. I mean, slash running back, but I mean that's up for interpretation. But I'm not trying to make Parker any more angry today. But we're gonna take a short break here. When we come back, we're gonna be talking about the NBA playoff race. As it's just a few more games left in the regular season, especially talking about the Western Conference and that huge, or I shouldn't say huge, the small gap between the 4 seed and 12 seed. We'll get into all that good stuff right after the short break. The NBA season is nearly complete, but the NBA playoff race is just heating up. Parker, we got a lot to talk about, honestly, for the segment, but I'm going to try to keep it a little bit shorter. Let's just start with, obviously, what I think everyone's been talking about as of late with the NBA. What's up with the Lakers, man? Are they good? Are they not good? I mean, or is the Western Conference just absolutely...
I know the answer.
I mean, or what's your answer? I want to hear your answer.
They are great, but they have such severe effort issues. And that is like, I don't know if you've been watching the Lakers games lately. They are just not turning it on at any point.
Dude, how do you lose the Bulls at home? Are you kidding me right now? With both LeBron and AD. I know LeBron came off the bench, but I saw that AD had like, he'd taken like 4 shots at halftime or something like that. It's like, what are you doing, dude? Like,
I will say,
go out there.
I think they smoke them. I think they're going to smoke them in 2 days when they go to Chicago. I think it might be a 30-point blow. Like, okay. And for the record, let's not forget, Pat Bev is now the leader of that Bulls team, and he wanted to murder the Lakers. So I do think, I think there was a bit of a mindset difference between those two teams going in. That said, it's still an inexcusable loss. Like, you can't, you shouldn't be losing that game. And because of that, I don't think they have any shot at getting to that sixth seed anymore.
Right.
But I do think they still are very much going to end up in that seven or eight spot, win their play-in game, and end up playing Memphis in the first round. So I just think that's the path for the Lakers right now.
Let me throw this out to both of us. I would say, who's a team? Because I still, at this point, like, the Lakers, they're currently the 9 seed. If they were to lose their next game, they probably would fall out of playoff contention. But if they're able to at least win the majority of their regular season from this point on, they should make at least a play-in. And say they obviously get out of the play-in, what is the team, at least out of the top six, that the Lakers would have the best chance knocking off realistically? I mean, obviously they can only play the top 3 seeds, but like, out of the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Nuggets, who's most likely to go down?
You have the best shot against the Kings, but since you're not going to make the 6th seed, I'll be more realistic. I do think they'd prefer to see the Nuggets than the Grizzlies. Like, I know you think I'm...
I think the Nuggets first round versus the Lakers would be a very interesting matchup.
And I think the Lakers win. Like, I don't even care, dude.
Really? No way.
I know that you think I'm a Jokic hater.
I'm not a Jokic hater. I'm a Nuggets hater.
I'll own being a Nuggets hater. Okay. I hate all the Nuggets. I think they're all terrible. I think they're the most overrated. Including Jokic. Yes. Yeah, no. They're the most... But you can't disagree with... Well, they're not even that overrated anymore. So I don't know if they're still the most overrated team in basketball, but they are still severely overrated because people were down on them. They've now won 3 in a row, so I think people are going to pump the hype back up. Thank God Embiid has taken over the MVP conversation, but he's now hurt, so I'm very worried.
He's not playing today against Jokic.
He just got his calf iced. He's just resting against the Nuggets.
Resting. There's part of me that I feel so strongly about the Jokic and Embiid, like, head to head. I've already seen both of them play in person against one another, and I can already tell you easily which one.
And didn't
better.
The Sixers win that game?
No, the Nuggets did, but Embiid dropped like 45, and like Jokic had like 20, like 27.
Do we agree
like
that Embiid's the better player? Like, are we on the same page there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we've always been clear about that. I just wanted to make sure
because I know you're not a huge Jokic guy, but like, I think we feel the same way about him. I'm just louder.
No. So here, okay, I'll make this. We've talked about this numerous times, but I'll make it explicitly clear right now.
Yes.
I absolutely love Nikola Jokic. I think he is easily a top 10 basketball player in the league right now. I think Joel Embiid is a transcendent player. I think Embiid is something that NBA fans have never really seen before. Honestly, kind of same with Jokic, but just in a completely different way. But Embiid is certifiably top 5 every single year when he is healthy. I like that it's a matter of degrees.
That's great.
So yeah, like I said, I love Jokic. I think Jokic is phenomenal. I think it's just hilarious how someone could be that good when you're just that unathletic, even though obviously he is a professional basketball player.
Him and Luka are just like the huge white guys who pass the ball super well, shoot super well, and don't play defense to save their life.
And are also having a tremendous impact on other players around the league as well. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. Podcast called The Mismatch. It's a great NBA podcast, and they had Jaren Jackson on the show for their live show in Memphis, and he was actually talking about like when teams are coming to them about, you know, like who, like which tape are you wanting to watch. Almost everyone is picking in both Jokic and Luka regardless of position, because what they do on the court doesn't really have much to do with any sort of athleticism or just, you know, any actual like abilities that are just like not teachable.
It's just
like
doing the right thing,
right? Well it's almost like I would almost call it kind of like an old man's game. It's like you don't really need to be the fastest or like can jump out of the gym, but their footwork and they're just their natural basketball abilities are so much better than everyone.
That those
two are the two players that all the other players are actually watching, trying to learn from their games, because the skill sets that both of those guys have can translate to any sort of basketball environment you'll put them in, even from 20 years from now when basketball.
That's a really interesting. You've given me a really interesting hypothetical, and I do want your take on this. So, would you take this is a team with just this guy and 4 nobodies? Would you rather have a team led by Jokic / Luka or a team led by prime LeBron? But and the other four players are just stock, like they're all J.R. Yeah. Smith.
Well, yeah. So it's interesting. I would go with LeBron because LeBron has already proven that he can carry, at least in his prime, he could carry a team with essentially nobody. That's what he did in Cleveland. He can carry a bunch of nobodies to the finals. Like he's already proven that he can do that. We've almost seen that from Luka, although obviously Jaren Brunson was on the team and he had some other decent role players. But
he also had Dinwiddie, yeah.
Yeah, Dinwiddie. I think that team wasn't terrible. But yeah, the way that Luka and Jokic play, you can drop them in any era of basketball and they'll still be effective. That's what makes them so remarkable, and that's why everyone's trying to learn from them. But anyway, we've gotten off topic. Back to what we were originally talking about, the NBA playoff race.
Yeah.
Looking more specifically at the Western
Conference. Well, you didn't say, who would you want the Lakers? Back to the original question. Correct. Who would you want the Lakers to see out of, because they're not going to make the sixth seed. So would you rather see them play the Grizzlies or the Nuggets? Do you agree?
I would. So I think if they played the Grizzlies, it's interesting. I think if they played the Grizzlies, I think the Grizzlies win that. I think it might be a little bit closer of a series than most people think, but I think the Grizzlies would still win that. Yep. I'm with you though on Denver, man. I don't like.
I mean, at least acknowledge that they don't play defense. They play horrible defense.
Well, and it's the problem is like I've seen LeBron and AD have success in the playoffs before. I haven't really seen that from Denver. And although Denver has been the best team throughout the regular season, aside from Milwaukee, it's like how much of that is really going to translate over into actual playoff competitive basketball? I'm not sure. It's hard to sit here on March 27th and just say that. But yeah, go ahead.
The best argument I've had is the last time either of these teams saw significant success was in the bubble. And so you can't argue the exact results there because the bubble was so weird and out of character. But what I will say is both of these rosters were very similar, where it was LeBron and AD and no one else. And it was all the guys that the Nuggets have had who are hurt forever. So, I mean, it's not like we can say that they're so vastly different teams. It was still Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Nikola Jokic. And I think Michael Porter Jr. will be back in time for the playoffs. So I don't think that that's really a factor. So what happened? The Lakers won in, I think, 5 or 6. So if we're just applying history, so you could say maybe LeBron's older and Jokic is better. But I don't think Jamal Murray's better, and I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is better.
I mean, the team, just the Lakers team itself right now is so different. I mean, you got guys that are carrying this team that, some of the fans have never even heard of. I mean, Austin Reeves has been all-NBA. He's been all-NBA good for the last, month. But, I mean, he is just a white guy out of Oklahoma at the end of the day. I mean, he's a great basketball player.
He's a baller.
But, I mean, guys like that were not on that 2020 bubble team. And then you got guys like Lonnie Walker, the fourth. I mean, they traded away some of the other guys, earlier this year.
Austin Reeves is a rookie?
No. He's been in the league for 3 years now, I think. 3 years.
Okay.
But yeah, still a young player, still developing, but it's been incredible to see the amount of growth that we've seen from him, especially just in this one season. I don't want to just talk about the Lakers here. I want to actually talk about some other teams as well. I want to talk about OKC a little bit because OKC, this is a team that, I mean, we've gotten so used to them just tanking every year and here's the whole thing this year. I mean, they're still not a great team. I mean, their overall record is below 500. They're tied with the Lakers at 37.
Yeah, but your guy is out here scoring at will. So,
oh yeah, my boy Giddey.
Yeah, boy Josh Giddey.
But their whole team, dude. Their whole team. I mean, they got guys
Josh
like Giddey.
TikTok goes hard.
I mean, seriously, they've got so many awesome role players in this team that actually, once they actually get some, solidifiable star power to go alongside SGA. I mean, I love Giddey, but I don't know if he's ever going to be a number one. I actually don't think SGA can be a number one permanently. But I mean, they still got Chet waiting in the backfield. With actually, there's been some rumors that he might be able to return if they actually can stay in the playoff race.
No way.
I've seen a few rumors like that, so I'm not going to rule it out. But and then you got guys like Lou Dort, Isaiah Joe. I mean, there's so many cool guys in that OKC team that actually once they actually start trying to win, especially in a season like this where legit the four seed through like the 13th seed, the whole thing is decided by two games or three games essentially. It's ridiculous. It's completely crazy. So yeah. Honestly, I'll let you go. I'm gonna look at the remainder of the OKC schedule and then get back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pull it up too, just so that we're on the same page. I want to be looking at that too. OKC, I don't see. Yeah, I don't see doing anything in the rest of the season. I mean, they've got Charlotte, Detroit, Indiana coming up. That's three. That if they really want it, that's three wins. I will say Shai is a little banged up right now.
Okay, but, so here I have it right here. They play, these are winnable games. They play Charlotte, Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix will be hard, Golden State's a challenge, Utah, and Memphis. So they have
three losses.
They have three very winnable games in Charlotte, Detroit, and Indiana. Phoenix is completely banged up right now, and then Golden State. I mean, they're playing at Golden State, so Golden State probably wins that one. But then Utah and Memphis, I'd say are definitely winnable games. So I actually think I'm going to sit here right now and make this claim. OKC has a better chance of coming out of the play-in than the Lakers do. I'll sit here right there and say that. And I know OKC is not completely trying to, go all in this year, but I think that now the players are actually starting to get kind of a taste of that winning culture. I don't think they're coming off it. I like what I'm seeing for OKC a lot right now.
Yeah, but I think they still want to be in the running for what's his name? For Wembanyama or Scoot.
Well, out of it yet. They're completely out of it.
If you lose in the play-in game, you're still in the draft lottery.
True, but Detroit and Charlotte and Houston are way more likely than
don't forget San Antonio. Yeah.
San Antonio. So
the
ones
the four who have already been eliminated. You're totally right. And the Trailblazers as well might be going for it because that's the only way you get Dame a championship. That kind of stuff. The Jazz still want it. Can you believe the Mavs are almost eliminated from the playoffs?
The Mavericks are so bad. They're so bad.
It's not even them. It's just Kyrie. They would have been in the playoffs if they hadn't gotten Kyrie.
It's almost true at this point. I'm not starting to say Kyrie is the sole reason why they're losing right now. I think there's a
well, no.
I think there's.
I'm not
I think
saying it's Kyrie's a, fault. I'm not saying it's because of Kyrie's play. I'm
but
saying,
but you're saying
done that trade.
Yeah, you're saying once they brought in Kyrie. Yeah. So
the guys they had to give up. I think with Dinwiddie, they're in the playoffs. That kind of thing.
It's hard to disagree. I think also I've sat here. I don't know if I've actually made this public here on HQI. I do not like Jason Kidd. I don't like him.
Well, I don't like him as a person, but
I don't have
any issue with him as a coach.
I'm sure he's got his problems as a person as well, but as a coach, the dude is just, I mean, the whole Christian Wood saga, I don't know if you've been following this throughout the entire season, but like just actively not playing someone who is better than people who are actually playing. Like it doesn't make any sense. They obviously have their defensive issues and that needs to be addressed in the offseason, but I mean the way the team is drafted. I mean, aside from Luka, who have they drafted well? Like seriously, who on this team can you sit here and say? I mean, Jane Hardy looks okay. I mean, he was kind of like he was a second round pick out of this past year's draft. But like,
I mean, Josh Green is fine.
Not really. seriously. Aside from making the Luka trade, which is one of the best trades in NBA history on draft night, like. Everyone else on this team is just garbage. It's ridiculous. I mean,
no one's homegrown either.
I just named six players on Oklahoma City who are drafted, developed, and have been losing games for years now that Dallas would take in a heartbeat. I mean, could you imagine Dallas with Isaiah Joe or Lou Dort or any like Jalen Williams, any of these guys? Like, come on. How is Dallas?
I will say, I won't shout out.
So
I won't,
bad at putting talent around actually some decent players. It's hilarious.
I won't call out the show, but there is a show here on Ithaca campus who straight up said, "Hey, what if Luka gets traded?" The joke. Well, it wasn't a joke. Oh, the post was a jersey swap to the Knicks. Oh, was Luka to the Knicks?
Oh, and that's of course ridiculous. It was.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. That's obviously not going to happen. But like, what if Kyrie walks because he's going to walk and not get paid by anyone? What if Luka asks to leave? I don't think it happens, but. This is a bad situation. I think it's either Jason Kidd gets fired or Luka walks. I think that's out.
I'll say this. The Mavericks will fire Jason Kidd way before they even think about trading Luka because Luka is obviously a generational player. 100%. But yeah, the Mavericks have been looking not so hot for quite
let's
a while
go east.
Now.
Let's go east.
Yeah, let's just go to the east just real quick before we have to wrap up today's show. I mean, definitely a more clear picture, obviously.
The Nets are hanging on for dear life, man.
The Nets are such a...
I think the Heat passed them, but...
The Nets are a team. They're going to make the playoffs, and the Nets are a team... Their whole team is made up of three guys. Like players that obviously can't be number one, maybe can be number two on a good day, but more...
I do love their starting five. I will be totally honest.
But it's all, like, rotational players. Like, I get it. Yeah. I like Mikal Bridges. But he can't be a number one. We all know that. Like, it's just, it's a bunch of those type of players.
Yeah, no, totally. I absolutely agree. It's a bunch of great twos and threes. I do think that if the Nets are able to make some kind of acquisition in the offseason, they could make noise because they focus too much on
maybe trying. They go get Luka. I have no idea.
Yo, well, no, that didn't work out for them last time. It wouldn't work out for them this time. But they do have like actual capital now to work with. I do think that there is a chance that the Nets make some noise this next offseason because I think their coaching situation is better. And I think they have a great supporting cast that they would be able to largely hang on to because of how much draft capital they have. So I think the Nets are interesting next season, but I think the Heat probably pass them because they play the Frisky Rockets tonight. No, but I think the Heat grabs the six from them. The Knicks end up in the Nets end up in the play-in, I mean. And then I have the Hawks making it out of the play-in, but I'm not sure who that last team is who's going to grab the eight. So maybe it's the Nets, maybe it's the Raptors, maybe it's the Bulls.
I think I actually think there's a decent chance. I have the standings pulled up right next to me right now. I think there's a decent chance that the teams that are currently in the playoff, like if the season were to end today and the playoffs started tomorrow, I think the same teams that we have right now are going to be the playoff teams we have 2 weeks from now. I actually don't think any of the teams that are even kind of hovering below the line, like Indiana or even a Washington.
Oh yeah, no, none of that.
I don't think they're making a run late at the end of the year to go out.
I'm just wondering who in the play-in is going to make it out, and that's going to be interesting. I will look forward to the Eastern Conference play-in games. But
it's got to be Miami, right? It's got to be Miami. And
I don't think Miami's going to be in the play-in. I think Miami's going to flip with Brooklyn.
Okay.
I think Miami's going to be the six, which means that they lose to the 76ers in the first round, unfortunately, because I do like the Heat. I do think they're very interesting, but they're just not built to win championships as much as they keep going deep. I will say Cavs, Knicks, we talked about it on the radio on Sunday. That's going to be an incredible first round series.
As you finally put on the Cavs jersey for the first time recording. Yeah, baby. Talk about your Cavs, man. This is now your team permanently.
Hey, for the next 3 years. For the next three years.
Forgot, remember, we
do contracts here. Overall, they are a little banged up. I don't love that Isaac Okoro is day to day or Jared Allen, but they have their main pieces. That the important stuff is all there, and at least right now they're getting healthy at the right time. So Donovan Mitchell has been playing extremely well. He's one of the best shooting guards in the league right now. Darius Garland has been distributing like a champ, and he's been scoring almost better than ever in his career. And Evan Mobley has taken not the steps I hoped in his second year. He hasn't taken quite that leap that I was looking forward to, but he's still playing extremely well. So I have no issue with anything that's going on. It's just top to bottom. This feels like a very, very good team. I don't think they can win it all this season. I'm going to keep picking them, but I do like, I'm well aware that right now the Bucks and Sixers are both much better teams, but if they're able to make it out of that first round against the Knicks, I do think that they have a shot. They have a shot to beat anybody. I just don't think that, like, I wouldn't pick them to beat the Bucks, like, but I would pick them to take the Bucks to six games, maybe not seven.
No, I think it's interesting. Cause like, I'm again, I like the Cavs this year. I still think they're probably 1 year off from like fully showing what they're capable of and going on a true, you know, I could see them in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. I mean, I would actually,
they were my preseason pick to make it to the finals for the East. So right. I would still love that to be true.
Obviously. But what I'm saying is like the way that Boston has been playing lately, I'm a believer in Boston.
Boston's playing so badly.
I think people are putting a little bit too much stock into the most recent play. But I think as of right now, though, I would actually give Cleveland and Boston the same probability of making the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they're both probably equal.
What's that
teams.
Probability?
I mean, 50-50, obviously. I mean, they're two teams halfway. But
I thought you meant like they were both 12% while Milwaukee and 76ers are both at
25. No. Okay, I see your point. So obviously Milwaukee's number one to make the Eastern Conference final, and then Sixers number two, and then tied for that third spot, it'd be Cleveland and Boston equal. Although obviously, I mean, I don't think it's too much. I don't think it's too worrisome. But Harden has been dealing with that Achilles injury as of late.
He's back tonight.
Okay, so he's back tonight, and obviously Embiid's just resting for today's game against the Nuggets, funny enough. But no, I think obviously we've kind of said this before. The East is a lot more set. I mean, here's our point. If some other team aside from Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, or Cleveland were to make the Eastern Conference Finals, it would be a bit of a shock. Am I wrong?
It's tough because I do think the Knicks are real contenders. It comes down to if Tibbs can
coach.
But
over Cleveland, though, or over Philly?
Like it would be surprising, but it wouldn't be like stunning. Like I wouldn't be jaw on the floor. I could see it happening. I don't believe Tibbs is a postseason coach. I don't think they're gonna do anything. But if they're able to get past the Cavs, I will officially believe in the Knicks' ability to make it to the finals, even though I won't pick them to do it.
Okay.
That's like they just have to get over that hump because they choked to the Hawks 2 years ago. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely I've already expressed my feelings about Tom Thibodeau, and I am not changing my mind about that anytime soon. Not saying that this Knicks team is not decent. I think it's actually the best Knicks team we have seen in quite some time.
And I think they're only going to get better.
True. I'm just saying I can't
put it does him, seem like I Julius Randle might be a madman, though. Julius Randle's been kind of a bad sport lately. I think they're going to shake it off, but Julius Randle's been kind of unhinged. He's been looking like the old Randle recently, so hopefully he can shake that off. But that could be a problem.
True. I mean, I honestly... Like you said, would it just be jaw dropping if the Knicks would make the Eastern Conference Finals? No, it would not. But still, I'm not going to put Cleveland below them nor Philly or nor Milwaukee. So more stability the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference we're still going to have to see and wait about which teams will be making the play in, which we'll still be talking about in some future episodes. But for today's episode, Parker, we got no more time. We've got to move on to our 2 minute warning today.
Oh yeah,
which is I haven't told Parker at all what we're doing today, so I'm quite excited for him to be hearing about this.
I love live.
I wouldn't be completely thrown. I think you might know about this update, but I'd be a little surprised if you did. Anyway, let me get to the point though. So for anyone who was completely unaware about the situation regarding the KC Wolf super fan for Kansas City back during the regular season, aka Chiefsaholic. there was a big story about that in the regular season where he allegedly, actually it's essentially proven, but allegedly went down, I believe, in Oklahoma and attempted to rob a bank with a rifle. Was caught put behind bars, but essentially was able to somehow convince a judge that he needed to have a, because he posted bond, and then essentially convinced the judge somehow that he was going to take a family vacation to Phoenix during Super Bowl week, and then he essentially was able to find his way to making the Super Bowl. But that is not the update I have for you guys today. The update I have for you today that dropped probably around noon today, at least mine time, the alleged bank robbing fan, Chiefsaholic, has now cut off his ankle brace and is now attempting to flee the country, and now there is essentially $1 million bond, or at least, or I'm trying to read the story as essentially as it's coming
out.
Are you
joking?
No, this is 100% true. So if I'm reading the article, this is word for word. It appears the Chiefs superfan is on the run and has $1 million bond at the moment. So
wow,
no one knows where this guy is. His name is, I believe his name is, Xavier Babadar. I don't know. But Xavier Babadar, Chiefsaholic, whatever you want to call him, he is out on the run. So that is our 2 minute warning topic for today. Parker, the question to, I guess, both of us, but I'll start with you. What if you were to ever go to this level of Baltimore Ravens, just complete, just psyche, like just crazed fandom, like robbing banks in order to pay for season tickets, what would your alias be? Like, what would be your whole Ravens kind of like get out, like costume outfit? I'm very curious to know what this would.
Well, I did. You're bringing back weird memories for me. For Halloween, like 10 years ago now, I went with friends. Our group costume was the Raven and the Oriole, was Poe and the Bird. First of all, the Oriole is called the Bird, so that's wild. But I mean, so I had a muscle suit. I just had a bunch of feathers taped on. I had like, I don't know what the wings were. My mother used to make great Halloween costumes, truly. But like, I could see doing a full Raven getup. But like, I do think it's funnier. I would do it as Shrek. Like, come on.
Oh, come on.
You missed the layup there, my friend.
Oh my God.
If I had like put on a costume and go rob banks, I'm doing it as Shrek, baby. And that way I can disguise my voice too.
That's true. I love the answer. I mean,
put your hands on the desk and give me the money.
Oh my Jesus. God. It's honestly, I don't even know how I even. I mean, someone's Top already someone. On. I mean, this dude is essentially taking my answer from me. I mean, the guy's dressed as a KC Wolf, robs banks in order to go to Chiefs games, and now is on the run. I mean, this could be a movie. My goodness. I mean,
it better be.
I don't know. I guess my answer would be if I were to become a crazed Chiefs fan who was so desperate to go to games, I would rob banks with guns.
Do it as Andy Reid.
What would? But yeah, I get like an Andy Reid face mask and then get like a
build just like a little mustache.
Build a big Hawaiian shirt. Buy a fat suit and just be like
and tell people that okay. You're using it for cheeseburgers.
Yeah, money for cheeseburgers. You know what? I'm gonna accept that. I think. If not the movie of the Casey Wolf Robin Banks,
get on someone, Photoshop, make yeah, this.
Get on the Andy Reid cheeseburger train. Which hell, you know, yeah. What? Not too bad of an answer. I'll take that one.
What a good way to end this episode. We are insane,
dude. What an insane story. Like absolutely crazy. Like the guy's legit. Like I don't even know. It's so weird being a Chiefs fan right now.
Is he
so.
A genius or is he an idiot? That's the question.
That's the ultimate question. Is the Casey Wolf either the greatest fan or worst fan in Chiefs history? That is the ultimate question. All right. With that all being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this very chaotic and very emotional episode here. That's all we got for you guys today. Be sure to go check out HQI Sports on all social media platforms, including Instagram and Twitter. Also, be sure to go subscribe to the YouTube channel as well to view all of our YouTube shorts. With that all being said, though, we'll see you guys next time.